You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Scariest day of my life was about a month ago when, after a long day of meetings, my team told me that we were going to be needing 130,000 ventilators, that we were short hundreds of thousands of ventilators. This is the system we inherited.
April the 15th, 2020. President Trump talking about the scariest day of his life. Responsible for the health and security of our nation, and being told we don't have enough ventilators. If this virus sweeps through our nation, as projected, thousands upon thousands will die. Why did we not have enough ventilators? There's a story behind the story behind the story. And it goes back not just the beginning of the Trump administration. It does go back to the Obama administration. But it goes deeper than that. And it's not a matter of pointing blame here. It's a matter of looking at details and how did we get to this point? It was an inherited situation. We'll be getting into that in great detail as we go through the next 2 hours. Welcome aboard. We are going to be cutting funding, or at least withholding it, to the World Health Organization for a period of time. The president making that decision. You know, do you have any idea how much we do pay currently? We'll get those numbers out for you. And of course, China and the way it handled the virus and has been handling the cases as information came out in hiding the truth, I would say is criminal, absolute criminal. And based upon that, I will also say the World Health Organization is a co-conspirator in that crime. We're going to get into more details as we go through the next 2 hours. Where do we stand currently on the numbers? The worldwide infection rate surpassing 2 million. Worldwide death rate, 128,000. U.S. infection rate, 130,000. Death rate, 26,000. And for many who are going around even now and saying, well, you know, this has been blown out of proportion, it's not that bad, you should make note of this. The daily death toll for the U.S., 2,405. That is the highest daily death toll, according to Johns Hopkins University's tally of the cases. And again, that brings the total number of U.S. deaths to 26,000. Well, Larry, we've had other flus sweep through our nation, taking 50,000 or so. That's true. But this is something entirely different. And the problem with this one is, we still don't have a vaccine, of course. We're still not sure what the best way to treat it is. Some who are treated recover, and then they seem to redevelop it. So a lot of things are in the air that we don't know, and by in the air, it's a pun and also literal. And we're not getting any help from China because China was hiding information from the beginning, along with the World Health Organization. Dr. Rick Layman is going to be joining us a little bit later. We're going to talk about the need for ventilators, how essential they are, and as he's beginning to see, along with other medical professionals on the front line, as to how patients are handling this. And surgeries, of course, have been postponed, elective surgeries in particular, but in some cases, folks need surgery to alleviate a pain or problem they have that, yeah, that's not going to kill them, but they're having to live with it, more pain in the process, and a lot of them being held back at this point. We'll get into that. And also on how some pharmacies, are changing or wanting to redirect what your doctor is advising. And, of course, Obama coming out yesterday saying, I'm with Joe. I'm with Joe, finally. Dr. Lamero will be joining us to see exactly how this will affect the 2020 race. And, again, today, Elizabeth Sanders' Pocahontas also coming out saying, I'm also with Joe. And as we move into this election cycle and move away from all the daily stuff about coronavirus, Joe Biden is going to have to start dealing with some sexual allegation charges, which no one wants to discuss. But he's not going to be able to ignore it. Oh, this is April the 15th. That's your tax deadline. Oh, no, not this time. Because of coronavirus, you've got a 90-day extension. You don't have to file your taxes until July the 15th. So see, I brought you some good news already. We've got a lot to cover for you. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. We appreciate you spreading the word. And we'll be continuing here shortly. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
American taxpayers provide between $400 million and $500 million per year to the WHO. In contrast, China contributes roughly $40 million a year and even less. As the organization's leading sponsor, the United States has a duty to insist on full accountability.
President Trump again saying, we give the World Health Organization $400 to $500 million per year. China gives a tenth of that amount. And yet, the World Health Organization is basically in China's back pocket. Some are saying, let's just relabel it. Let's just say it's the Chinese health agency. Because what they have been doing is parroting whatever China tells it to say. And that jeopardizes the world. It is why we have this pandemic around the world affecting our populace and our economies. So if we are the largest single donor, which we are, and during a current two-year funding period, our State Department had previously planned to give the World Health Organization $893 million over that 2 years, so about $450 million each of the 2 years. And then as this virus began to surface and the word began to come out, and then we began to realize how much was being hidden from us and jeopardizing more lives, and the World Health Organization, who should have been on the ground, checking it directly, they did not do so. the Chinese would not allow us to send members of our CDC staff in on the ground to see specifically what's going on. As early as late December, word was coming out that some of the Wuhan medical staff, the lab technicians, doctors, taking care of those already infected, are trying to examine what the virus was and how it was reacting. We're already suspected to have contracted the disease by human-to-human transmission. Up to that point, we're supposed to believe this came out of the wet markets of China. The wet markets are these areas you go into. If you've ever watched any third world countries and some of their markets, or let's put it this way, Game of Thrones, things of that nature, when they take you back to that period of time and you see the markets, you see the chickens hanging, blood dripping everywhere from the stalls, they had no concern and so forth about sanitation back during that period of time, and they don't in these wet markets in China as of today. They slaughter the animal right there on the same table that they've already slaughtered several others. The urine, the blood, the body fluids are all mixing. And they toss the dead animal or carcass, whatever they don't use, to the one side. And then they drop some of the fresh prime beef or meat they were going to use, dog or cat, into the slime. And they just pick it up and wipe it off and sell it. And there's not much complaining going on because that's how they do business. And there are some who want these exotic animals, various snakes or the horseshoe bat, things of this nature. So we were supposed to believe that that's how this transmitted. Somebody ate one of these bats that carried the disease and they got sick and died. And others who were sick and dying, all because they ate the same bat species. And then it became apparent, as I said, as early as late December, they were seeing human-to-human transmission. And by human-to-human, that means either by saliva, body fluid of some type, simply touching one another after touching the coronavirus. And on January 4th, in a statement first flagged by the National Review, the head of the University of Hong Kong Center for Infection warned, and I'm quoting, "The city, Wuhan, should implement the strictest possible monitoring system for a mystery new viral pneumonia that has infected dozens of people on the mainland. And it is highly possible the illness is spreading from human to human." This was published in the National Review January 4th. The World Health Organization already knew what was going on prior to January. And obviously, the World Health Organization would have been aware of this publication and that statement. What was the World Health Organization doing while all this news began to surface and percolate? President Trump.
One of the most dangerous and costly decisions from the WHO was its disastrous decision to oppose travel restrictions from China and other nations. They were very much opposed to what we did. Fortunately, I was not convinced and suspended travel from China, saving untold numbers of lives. Thousands and thousands of people would have died. Had other nations likewise suspended travel from China, countless more lives would have been saved. Instead, look at the rest of the world, look at parts of Europe. Other nations and regions who followed WHO guidelines and kept their borders open to China accelerated the pandemic all around the world.
All around the world. China was hiding what was going on. The World Health Organization was certainly aware of what was going on. If it's published in the National Review, if the World Health Organization had no idea of anything else going on, it had to take that report seriously. And then when we began our action, the president deciding we're going to suspend flights from China, he gets labeled by the leftists, the media of this country, xenophobic, There he goes again. He doesn't like brown people. Now he doesn't like yellow people. And then you had all the Democrats in the streets all across our nation saying there's nothing wrong with Chinese and Chinese food. And that wasn't the point. But they fell back on political correctness. I'm going to come back to that issue in a moment. But the president's saying if the World Health Organization had followed our lead, or at least they should have initiated it, but they didn't. So he did. There were medical experts in addition to what President Trump did at that point that did want to recommend travel bans for nations. A report by Australia's Sky News revealed on January 30th, World Health bureaucrats met with a group of doctors and medical experts to discuss a response. As the coronavirus was at that time spreading from Wuhan, China, to the U.S., Italy, Iran, South Korea. And they said, you need to put a travel ban in. We did. The other nations did not. Because the World Health Organization was saying, you don't need that. That's going overboard. And there comes again the PC issue, which we're going to get into in more detail in a moment. Because they were so concerned about appearing to be themselves xenophobic and slamming and slandering the Chinese. You know where China stands right now with the World Health Organization? The president just announcing we are going to withhold our money until we get a better accounting of what's going on. And I insist again, I insist, what has happened in China is criminal. And the World Health Organization in a world court should be brought to trial as a co-conspirator for allowing that crime to be carried out around the world. But now with President Trump pulling American funding, China steps forward and vows more support for the World Health Organization. They're not going to make up the money we're taking away. I will guarantee you they're not going to do that. They're going to give lip service. And that will, I guess, maybe appease the World Health Organization for a period of time. Maybe not. But they're going to step forward and say President Trump is wrong to do so. In fact, speaking at a briefing in Beijing today, the foreign ministry spokesperson said China has, quote, serious concerns about President Trump's moves to revoke financial support during this time of crisis. Here's where they circle back. We're in the midst of a crisis. You can't pull the money now. We wouldn't be in the midst of this damn crisis if you'd done your job as you're supposed to do as a watchdog for the world, not for China and being their pet lapdog, but a watchdog for the world. But again, this foreign ministry spokesman in China said, in Beijing, the U.S. decision will weaken the World Health Organization's capabilities and undermine international cooperation. China will, as always, support the World Health Organization in playing an important role in international public health and global anti-epidemic response. Blah, blah, blah. More BS. President Trump says, make no mistake, the World Health Organization failed.
Had the WHO done its job to get medical experts into China to objectively assess the situation on the ground and to call out China's lack of transparency, the outbreak could have been contained at its source with very little death. Very little death, and certainly very little death by comparison. This would have saved thousands of lives and avoided worldwide economic damage. Instead, the WHO willingly took China's assurances to face value, and they took it just at face value, and defended the actions of the Chinese government, even praising China for its so-called transparency. I don't think so. The WHO pushed China's misinformation about the virus, saying it was not communicable and there was no need for travel bans. They told us when we put on our travel ban, a very strong travel ban, there was no need to do it. Don't do it. They actually fought us.
They did fight us. And members of the rest of the world are beginning to step forward and fighting against this decision to pull this money. This is going to be a global battle, but I'm ashamed to tell you, it's not just going to be from other corners of the world, those objecting for us pulling this money. I'm ashamed to tell you that I've got a quote right here in front of me, blasting the president's decision as, quote, irresponsible, irrational, simply the wrong thing to do. Statement from Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat of Maryland. The American Medical Association weighing in, immediately calling on the president to reconsider his decision, stating, during the worst public crisis in a century, halting funding to the World Health Organization is a dangerous step in the wrong direction that will not make defeating COVID-19 easier. The World Health Organization is not going to defeat COVID-19 at this point. Why are they all rallying around to support the World Health Organization? Again, part of it is going to come back to political correctness. Give me a PC break. I've got more on that in a moment. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The WHO's attack on travel restrictions put political correctness above life-saving measures. Travel bans work for the same reason that quarantines work. Pandemics depend on human-to-human transmission. Border control is fundamental to virus control.
You would not think you had to explain to the World Health Organization and other government bodies around the world that a travel restriction, a tighter border, can protect your country from infectious diseases, just as a quarantine, and yet they want to tell you it doesn't work? 17 years ago, the SARS came out of southern China. Severe acute respiratory syndrome. The first public health crisis of the 21st century. And it was a massive cover-up orchestrated by the Chinese government. Dangerously slow response from the World Health Organization at that point. There was panic. There were lives lost. Same thing happening this time, only the difference here is the World Health Organization is not really strongly criticizing China, as it did then for lack of transparency. At that time, the World Health Organization sharply criticized China for withholding crucial information. I've yet to see the World Health Organization criticize China this time around. The top brass at the World Health Organization, after that pandemic died down, the SARS pandemic, highlighted the importance of government transparency to avoid a health crisis from retaking hold. So tell me this. $400 million from the U.S., we're going to say we're shutting off the funnel until we get better accountability and we see that you're going to do your job. And we've got the World Health Organization. And in fact, I got a quote here from the U.N. General Secretary of the U.N., saying this is not the time to reduce resources. And other countries are coming forward and saying the same thing. You can't cut this off. And Democrats in this nation are using this as a political weapon again, saying, yeah, you can't do that. The World Health Organization needs the money more than ever now. For what? For what? It's already out there. They haven't done a damn thing. This is like a grease fire in your kitchen. You don't throw water on there. Everybody says, put water on a fire. You don't do it on that one. It's not going to accomplish anything. It's going to splatter, and nothing's accomplished. And they want you to believe, well, if you don't do that, first of all, you're politically incorrect. I could give a damn about PC. I care about American lives. And I care about lives around the globe. And I care about an organization that's charged with watching out for our interest and is gladly taking the checks, but not doing the checking. I got more on this coming up in the second hour. So if you just got a bit of it now and you want to make sure your friends and neighbors catch up, let them know more on this is coming in the second hour. I want to take a break here, though, because we're going to come back with Obama finally coming forward saying, I'm going to be with Joe. Dr. Gerard Lomero is going to join us. The latest on how this endorsement will affect the election or not.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
There is superstitious writings on the wall.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And that's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for President of the United States. I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
Those are the words of former President Obama yesterday. And even as he was releasing that statement yesterday, I was sending out an email to Dr. Gerard Lomero and say, I need to book you for tomorrow right away. And he said, put me down. Dr. Lomero, welcome back aboard, sir.
Well, it's great to be back with you.
Well, it took a while for him to finally come around. And, of course, on one hand, you could say I didn't want to endorse anyone until we had one person standing because I don't want to get into the primary-type battle. But I still don't think Obama really wants to endorse Biden.
I don't think so. It looked more like he was accepting the inevitable that Biden is the front runner. He did not appear to support his policies. Right now, Biden is essentially adopting all the socialist policies that the far-left groups within the Democratic Party are pushing, and he's also supporting all of Bernie Sanders' positions. And he said, I will not let you down. He will not let Bernie Sanders down. He said that to him. That indicates that he has adopted a very far left set of positions that are going to be very hard to defend in the general election. And I think ultimately Obama is a smart politician. He was elected twice. So he must know something. And I think he realizes that this is a losing platform, and he's basically endorsing a losing platform. And I don't think he's very comfortable with that.
Well, here's and Biden is not going to go far enough for some of the left-wingers. I've got a statement here from a progressive commentator, Kyle Kalinske. He said, as a left-winger who will not vote for Biden, I want you to know I'm 100% okay with you blaming me if Trump wins a second term. I mean it. Blame me. Then get to thinking real hard how hard you're going to get me to support your candidate the next time. In other words, he said, I'm not going to go. In other words, I guess he's not going to vote at all. The vote stays home, which, again, will help
right.
Trump.
Well, there's still other things going on, too. And this makes the election forecasting much more difficult than normal. And that is whether or not Biden's going to make it all the way through till November. There's still a push, I think, by some people in the Democratic Party to replace him at the last minute at the convention. Also, what's being spoken about in quiet circles are things like let's let Biden pick somebody for vice president, and then let's say he's not, you know, he makes a few too many mistakes, we'll replace him. We'll say he can't run, he's not feeling good, and the,
you mean
the
at the at convention at the convention you're talking about, make it happen?
No,
then?
Even possibly afterwards.
Right. Okay.
Or it could happen slightly before, slightly after, or during the convention.
Right.
Hard to tell the exact timing, but let's say he makes a couple of big gaffes early in the fall. What's going to happen? Well, they might say it's time for him to step aside. He's just not feeling as healthy as we thought. And the vice presidential nominee, Elizabeth Warren or whoever, Stacey Abrams, they're considering for vice president for him, should take over. And then we have a whole different race.
You know, you bring those up, some of those who might be on that dim list. Not one of them so far has addressed or made any remarks about the allegation that surfaced last month that a former campaign aide says that Biden in 93, I think it was, sexually assaulted her, or words to that effect. And the mainstream media, of course, has just ignored it. He's been on numerous interviews with MSNBC, Anderson Cooper, CNN, and so forth. No one brings that subject up, and not one of the female candidates that might still be on that list with him, Senator Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren, or even former Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. Yeah, not one of them.
Sally Yates.
Yeah, not one of them saying anything about it. It's going to have to come up. It's going to have to come up.
Well, it absolutely will, but the media is no longer objective. They no longer perform journalism as you and I understood when we were students, you know, years ago. We went to school. I knew there were journalist students that were my friends. They learned how to seek out the news and learn what was happening. But now it's all a political bias. You know, it's all basically pushing a certain narrative, and they don't want him to go down because of a scandal. So they're not going to mention it. None of the candidates who might run with them will mention it because they'll never get picked.
And a lot of the left members, even inside the Biden support group, have had uneasiness, at the very least, as the way he has been, you know, putting his hands upon children and women and so forth in public when it's, you know, right there for everyone to see. And they've basically told him, you can't do that anymore. And this hashtag Me Too, you got to not be so handsy. And he said, I'll try. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was an issue. And apparently he continues to do so.
Well, I think that makes a lot of women very uncomfortable. It also makes a lot of women voters uncomfortable and that. But on the other hand, sexual harassment can mean a lot more. And by stifling the issue, they're not getting it out. It's going to come out at the wrong time, like in October, right before the election. They might lose a lot more votes by putting it off and dealing with it later.
And then you've got another issue. In fact, this comes from MSNBC Joy Reid. And for those who are not familiar with her, she's a black progressive on MSNBC. And her statement is, let me see, what this says to me, talking about that these people that are going to be following Biden, they're not left-wing voters. They are privileged white voters who demand to be bowed down to, no different than Trump voters, than those who are not white and Christian, to take the knee for them like in the good old days.
Wow, that's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign for him. And once again, I did an updated forecast today for the election. In other words, what is the electoral vote going to be by state? I do it by state, as you know. I don't just do one number for the whole country because that's misleading. I do it state by state because that's the electoral vote count that really matters. And right now, Trump has won in a landslide against Biden. and it's not even close. He's got a minimum, in my latest forecast, a minimum, Donald Trump has a minimum of 348, more likely 367 electoral.
And you need 270.
You only need 270.
Yeah. That's a runaway. That now, of course, we're going to be able to, you know, we'll be watching polls as we move forward. But the coronavirus is still sucking up a lot of air in the room right now. Biden can't get any airtime. This Obama announcement last night, I'm sure it got a lot of play on some of the mainstream leftist media. But pretty much, it's just here's his statement. I'm with Joe and walked away from it.
It was like a sneeze in a hurricane.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
It literally was essentially ignored by nearly every voter, including hardcore Democrats that are watching the race that really didn't care. It was after the fact. It was literally leading from behind.
And
Obama showed leadership from behind, his typical policy.
But
it's already happened.
But with this current situation and the threat of the virus, we have a leader at the front. And he's getting a lot of daily airtime, which I know upsets him because they say every time he holds one of these daily briefings, it's nothing but a campaign speech. And yet, if the situation were reversed and it was happening during Obama reign and he was doing, I wouldn't say it's campaign, but I expect the leader to be out there and show what he does. I mean, that's what he is doing at this point.
Yes, and by the way, part of the reason Trump is doing so well even now is not only is his base solidifying, but a lot of other people sense him as a wartime president that they have to stay with through the crisis. This is a crisis that America has never faced before. And who better to restart the American economy than someone who incredibly grew the American economy in the last 3 years? We would not be nearly good a position today if he weren't president, because our economy was booming up until this virus came along. We need to restart the economy soon, and we need somebody at the helm of the, you know, in the White House who knows how to do it.
Well, you
That's
know,
why
you,
he's
you,
picking
you,
up support.
Right, and you know, regardless of what he does, if he decides we're going to start everything tomorrow, or we're not going to start until 2021, he's going to be wrong. But the next few months, as we begin to restart the economy and start trying to get it up, we'll still have the virus going throughout the nation. How's that play at that point is getting the economy back on track, getting things fired back, and if it fizzles, if there's no big boom in the beginning, how's that going to go with Trump and his base?
Well, actually, it looks like, and I know we're in unprecedented waters, and so it's hard to say exactly what will happen economically, but we know that he has a reputation for knowing how to run the economy, and people are going to say he ran the virus well, because he's going to restart it soon. I sense that very much. I think it's basically going to play in his favor. It seems to be helping him right now with voters. It seems to be trending toward him getting more and more electoral votes. And so I anticipate it's going to subside. Right now, deaths are going down per day. The
right.
Hospitals are not being flooded, except possibly in New York City.
Yep.
But even they have lots of empty beds.
All right.
And everybody's got too many ventilators. You're going to see them sold on eBay pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, in fact, for the audience, I've got a story on that coming up in the next segment. Dr. Amaro, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you again. We will be scheduling more conversations with you, sir.
Okay, great. Great to talk to you always. You have a fantastic show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gerard Amaro, also author of the new book, Real World Socialism, the very thing Biden will still try to be presenting, but of course he does not have the zeal of a Bernie Sanders, and as you heard from some of the Sanders supporters, they're not going to buy into him anyway. But there is a Democrat who said, I'm a Trump supporter now because Donald Trump saved my life. That story coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, there's been this controversy over this malaria drug. that President Trump had started saying, you know, it might be effective. They're seeing some cases where it might work for some people, and apparently it has. In New York, some 4,000 of the seriously ill were put on the hydroxychloroquine, and the numbers coming back, I haven't seen any specifics, but apparently it did some good. And it gets down to, you know, if that's the only thing that might be available to you, do you want it or you just want to go ahead and die or take a chance? And Trump was pushing that on an almost daily basis, saying it's something to consider. Not saying do it. He's just saying doctors are looking at it and they're going to continue tests. And talk to your doctor about it. In Michigan, the governor of Michigan threatened doctors, saying that if you prescribe this for this use when it's not originally set for that, we will be coming after you. We'll come after your medical license. And yet there were still reports coming out that, hey, that sometimes combined with something as simple as a Z-Pak for colds and sinuses was helping folks dramatically. Some folks had side effects. Some were reporting peripheral vision loss, but they're still alive. Some were having little balance problems, but they're still alive. So with the Michigan governor saying, not in my state, and she, like many of the leftists, were saying Trump is acting like a quack doctor offering quack medicine. Michigan Democrat State Representative Karen Whitsitt, a black woman, as I said, a state representative in Michigan. She came down, she and her husband, with COVID-19. And first of all, trying to get the test, to get cleared to get the test, and then to get the drug, because they realize we want that drug. I certainly want an opportunity for it. And it was not easy.
It would not have been made readily available to me if it was not for the president making his comments. This was something that the day that I actually had hit rock bottom, the governor in the state of Michigan had placed an executive order in place that was very confusing for the doctors within our state. And I was not able to get it from the doctor who actually wrote the prescription for my husband Jason and I, to actually go and get tested for the COVID virus. So you can imagine the frustration, the scariness.
The scariness, yeah. I mean, you believe the drug might be your only chance. And in her state, in her home state of Michigan, her own Democrat governor had said, not in my state, and was locking it away and threatening to take the license from any doctor who would prescribe it. All right, you're a doctor, you got a patient, and I really want to help her, but the governor's made it clear that they might do an investigation, and even though I think I'm in the right, they could take my license. And, of course, if the drug doesn't work and the patient dies, then I might have the patient coming after me. But here was this Michigan Democrat, State Representative Karen Whitsitt, saying, I wanted that opportunity. I wanted it for myself and my husband. Let us make the decision. And she said clearly, as you heard, if it had not been for President Trump mentioning that drug repeatedly, she might not have gotten it. And, of course, the mainstream media and the leftist attitude was, follow the money. He must be making money on it. Well, they looked through several funding trust and so forth, which he cannot touch, and they found one tiny, tiny little connection where he might be making $100. The drug is no longer under patent, so it's pretty easy to make, so there's not a lot of money to be made, but he might be making $100. He was offering it as something to help Americans. But even this state representative realized, if the president hadn't offered it, kept pushing it, it would be difficult. And still on top of that, she had to do something that she found abhorrent. She had to do one of these, don't you know who I am? I'm a state representative.
It sickened me to my stomach to have to use my name as a state representative in order to be able to even get tested and to go through this whole entire process. So I definitely want to put that out there that this is unbelievable, the things that I'm enduring, that other people who do not have a name are being turned away.
That woman is so candid. I love her. I love her remarks, saying it sickens me that I had to use my rank and my number to get what we should have been able to get anyway. And you had to question how many others wanted it and they didn't get a chance to get it. Did they end up dying in Michigan? The governor of Michigan has since rescinded and cited, okay, but maybe late for some of them. And this Michigan Democrat says, I'm with Trump, and Donald Trump saved my life. Coming up in the next hour, what is all this noise about we were short ventilators, and how did that happen? There's a story behind the story that I bet many of you have not heard in full detail. The quickest answer is blame Trump. Not so fast. And Dr. Rick Layman will join us, and we'll talk about maybe are the ventilators being overused anyway. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.